shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
I was only kidding. All right, so welcome back. You know, what do you mean? I'm just joking around. I was just, you know, little frustrations. No big thing, you know.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm only kidding. I'm not going to... What are you talking? I'm not going to... I love what I do. I mean,
Yeah, you're... That was pretty bitching.
What was... There was nothing bitching about it. I'm just joking around.
So when the radio stations get pissed at you, you don't care?
If they get pissed at me, I'll be very sad. Yes, of course they will. I'm just joking around. I'm just frustrated with the technocracy, that's all. Just, you know, it just happens, okay? Take it easy. You know, this is a radio show that we call Spoken Word. That's the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your life, isn't it? Spoken Word, that's the stupidest. Whoever came up with that one, that they ought to be taken out and shot. But it's not really a talk show because we don't really do the kind of political talk that some people find so fascinating, which is basically what's wrong with Obama today. You know, I'm a little bit more broad-minded about things, that's all.
Yeah, but you got to be like, are you conservative?
No, I don't like calling myself that, and I won't call myself that. You know, I don't care. You want to know what I don't care. This is the kind of American I am. While I may be conservative in a lot of ways, I don't look at the president of the United States and think anything other than I hope the guy is successful. In other words, I didn't buy into that whole I hope he fails thing. That's but those are guys that are, you know, that's Rush. Rush is a smart guy. He knows the guts of the way talk radio has been positioned is that it has to be a political forum. There's nothing left in radio that there's no room for, you know, entertainment other outside of morning drive. You know, you do morning drive, you can do all the entertainment you want. But, there, you know, I've only recently started doing a podcast. And when you do a podcast, you're in a world those cats over there are they're making money over there. In the podcasting world, and there's not one radio guy over there other than, you know, if you look at the radio guys that are over there, Mark and Brian and me and a couple of other guys, but the guys that are kicking ass over there are all comics, not radio people, because the comics staked out the podcasting world, figured out the ad dollars, and that's who's kicking ass over there. You would think that people in, you know, radio, now I've just started myself jumping into that.
You're making money?
Well, we're starting to make a little bit of money, yeah. But, you know, that's another one of those moves that I should have made. If I'd been smarter, man, I would have started podcasting 6 years ago, like my good friend Jimmy Pardo. Now, that guy was smart. 6 years ago, this guy started doing internet shows. I remember I remember Don Buchwald saying that to me. 6 years ago, when we left Clear Channel, he said to me, why don't you do internet radio? I thought that was some cheap, bull crap thing. You know, I thought it sounded like some kid doing a radio station out of his garage or something, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people are doing it, though.
Yeah, I know. Now I know. Now I know. So, by the time I finally jumped into the fray, and one of the things is the material that I had was on and is on our website, and I didn't want to start just dumping all of this material that my subscribers subscribe to out onto the internet. But nonetheless, that's a world where there is functionality and there is logic and there's people know what they're doing, man. And there's a sort of a pecking order, and there's a way to make your way up the ladder, and there's downloads. There's really specific things, and I'll tell you something else. The way that they judge audience or listenership in the world of podcasting, which if they can come up with a better name than podcast, which they probably won't. I got this much experience, and I know this. If you hate the name of something, it's likely you'll never be able to replace that because that's the name that people know and that's the name that people will always be going by and that's just what it is, the podcast. It sounds really wimpy, but hey.
I don't know. It sounds okay to me. I don't know what it means.
It means pod. It means like you have your little pod and you got your pod and we're all living in our pod, man.
You're like Seed Pod. Like that movie, that movie the other night?
What, Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah, that day at Seed Pod.
That's not the seed pod. We're not talking about seed pods. We're talking about pods. Pods. Okay? As in the little... And in a way, it's like a self-contained little universe that everybody lives in. No, wait. You know what I got to do? I got to throw in some comment about Obama being a piece of crap and a socialist. That's what every 15 minutes I should throw that in. That way it'll keep some of these jackballs happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead and say it.
Yeah, Obama's a real commie. Now, getting back to podcasting.
Perfect.
Thank you. Getting back to podcasting, so that's what it was. And that world was beginning to roll out in this manner that, however confused it may be to the people that are over there, compared to radio, it is absolute, it's the goose-stepping Germans, man. It's just like, boom, you know. Compared to the world of radio where nobody knows anything about how anything gets done anymore, over there in the world of podcasting, you know how many people are downloading. You now know how many people are actually, what the demographics are of the people that are listening to you. You know the gender of the people that are, you know, all of that stuff. And anybody can figure it out, even the guy that is the host of the show. In radio, you know, I'm as clueless today as I was 30, 40 years ago on how audiences get measured, on how they figure out how many people are listening at any given time. I can tell you one thing. This show, well, you don't want to know.
Yeah, they're probably... two people listening on this show.
Shut up.
Well.
You don't have to speak the obvious, do you?
Why do you think there are only two people?
No, I'm just two people. I'm just, because we're out in the middle of the night, you know. But anyway. So that was going to be, that would have been fantastic, man. But what, you know, I am telling you, and I used to hear my father say this about himself, and maybe it's these interjects and I shouldn't do this, but. Sometimes I hear myself saying things just like my own. I think, what kind of an idiot are you, Henry? Why didn't you figure that one out sooner, you know?
I don't think you've done nothing wrong. I think you're doing stuff smart.
Yeah.
Why don't you think you're doing things smart?
Let me just put it to you this way. You know, as I've said on the show many times, the radio industry is not making any money anymore. And the reason for that is, well, there's a lot of reasons for that, but primarily the reason for that is the imbeciles that have run our industry. Now, people will say to me, well, Phil, aren't you letting yourself off the hook there? No, actually, I, the talent, the on-air talent, for years and years and years and years, we were always blamed. Oh, it was always our fault. You guys aren't good enough. You guys aren't smart enough. You guys said you said dirty words. You got us fined. You this. It was always talent's fault. But now we find what the real truth is. Now we find what the real case has been all these years. It hasn't been us. It hasn't been the talent. It's been the bloodsuckers that have run our business right straight into the ground. It's been the guys that have taken the money out of the company and stuck it in a yacht or stuck it up their wife's rear end or wherever they stuck it, you know. Who've taken the money and reinvested it in garbage, who've taken the money and given it to Mike Huckabee, who've taken the money and given it to Fred Thompson, who've taken the money and given it to who the hell ever, who've taken the money and, like any other dim bulb in any other business, hey, look at this, conservative radio works, so we're going to hire about 9 million conservative hosts, which have given us such stellar guys as Dennis Prager. You can love Dennis. He's a nice man, I'm sure. He ain't no broadcaster. Never has been. But you got guys like that because, hey, that's what's winning, man. I got news for you. You could get just as many people listening to your radio station doing shtick and comedy as you could conservative if you just did it. But, you know, this is an easy thing to do, man. Just throw in some guy with a tie and a white shirt and glasses talking about what a commie Obama is. And by the way, here is his wife, Michelle, is on TV right now, Michelle Obama. And I will say that I'm grateful I haven't seen any or heard any gorilla jokes lately. But, you know, the night's still young.
Who's going to call her that?
Some people did. Anyway, like I said, the night's young, man. You know, I haven't seen the morning papers, so there's bound to be some crack about her, don't you think?
What, about Michelle Obama?
Yes, by tomorrow, man, is going to be Michelle Obama. I don't know why, but she's just the lightning rod. She's real easy. People go after her. Some people that hate Obama and they aren't exactly sure how to go about saying that they hate him. Because the guy, you know, they've already, the commie thing is used up. And the socialist thing is used up. And besides, you could call Obama a commie and a socialist, and that means you have to explain what a commie and a socialist is. And most of the people that call Obama a commie and a socialist wouldn't know how to define those two things if their lives hung by a thread. they wouldn't know how to define that. So the next best thing is start bagging on his wife. So she was up. She was giving some comments tonight on the at the convention, and we'll see whether or not she is the target of some of those jokes tomorrow morning. All right, we'll get back to some more of this stuff. I think Margaret was about ready to, wasn't she?
Yeah, well, she's waiting. You had a temper tantrum and everything else.
I didn't have a temper tantrum, okay? Can't I just lose it every now and again?
No, man. I don't think it's good. Another thing, the other thing, you have a heart attack, what am I supposed to do?
If I have a heart attack, what are you supposed to do? Call an ambulance.
Yeah, what's the number?
911, you jackass. Don't you know what the number is?
No, I thought that was what they called when the... When Oladen came over.
I'm going to belt you, man.
Well,
we'll be right back when Oladen came over. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
that like
is our
yeah.
bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I just got that. Bin Laden, Aladdin. Is that the same thing?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Now, join us on our Phil Hendry Show video cast every night. It is a reality show wrapped around a radio show. And by that, I mean the little meltdown that I have from time to time on the air, the little meltdowns. You've heard of the little death that they talk about. Well, I shouldn't say you.
What's that mean?
Never mind. This is kind of like the Angry Phil version. It's called the little meltdown. But anyway, I have them from time to time. You'd be able to see it. You could watch it. Anyway, join us online at philhendryshow.com for my professional meltdowns and me pulling my diva act, as well as other aspects of our very entertaining show at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and you will get a backstage pass, which will enable you to enjoy the many thousands of hours of archived audio that we've got back when we had, you know, a real show. No. Yeah, no, I mean, it's an ever-unfolding adventure. That's what it is, you know? Just when you think the journey has ended, man, it's still going. It's still going. All right, speaking of that, it's still going. Margaret Gray is joining us online here tonight. And, Margaret, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing good. I've been listening this evening, and I was... Was that a joke, what you did?
Was what a joke?
You know, when you're... Just...
Shut up, bud. Was what a joke?
Well, you were just very incensed, and it sounded like you were talking into the break. And
it's never mind.
You don't want to talk about it.
No. What I want to talk to you about is the thing that I mentioned to you last week, and we want to get a little bit further into this.
I just want to be clear. So that was a joke, or it was?
I don't want to talk about it. Okay.
Wow. Gee.
What's the problem?
Well, All right, go ahead.
Now, my idea is as follows, and this is a killer idea. It's a killer idea that I am writing this week, and Alex and Chris are helping me with it. And
is this some kind of a television pilot?
Yes, it's a script. But listen, this is the most beautiful thing that you've ever heard in your life. It's my story, all right? Now, we open up on a radio studio where a guy is doing his show, and he can't get any calls to save his ass. He's talking about all of this, this very insightful and inflammatory political stuff, but the phone lines are dead, and he is really frustrated.
And this is you?
Yes, this is me. And
what, about an hour ago?
Hey, are you making a joke?
That's pretty funny, though.
No, I'm not making. I don't understand.
Will you just listen to what I'm saying?
That is, yeah, that was him an hour ago. He was talking about, ow.
Do you mind, bud?
Man, but why don't you shut up? Why don't you shut up?
Just both of you guys.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, there's a guy in a radio studio. It's me. It's my story, man. Only we're going back 20 years. He's sitting there in a radio studio. He can't get any calls. And he suddenly decides he's going to do fake calls. He's going to make up fake calls, okay?
Yeah.
And that, and it's me, and I start...
Well, so you're playing yourself.
Yes, yes, but it's the Phil Hendry Show, but it's the story, and it's a weekly sitcom, see?
All right, and what exactly is the dramatic tension, or not the dramatic, but what's the tension?
Well, the tension's this. Unlike my real life, on this show, the guy, me, is doing these fake character voices, he's doing these fake guest voices, and people are calling in and they think it's fantastic, only no one knows but him and his engineer. It's almost like Superman, where, you know, Clark Kent is this mild-mannered guy, and no one knows that he's real. No one knows the real guy. They think he's this real, only in reverse, you know?
All right, so Clark Kent, no one knew he was Superman, but in your TV show, no one knows you are actually the guests.
Exactly, exactly. No one knows that I'm actually the voice of the guests, and no one knows that, you know, I don't have all of these, you know, crazy people on my show. They think, you know, they think that they're real people, but it's actually me. And
the general manager.
The general manager and the program director, all those guys are in the dark. That's the difference between my real life and that life. And so every week, the comedic premises are based upon some sort of angle off of that. Maybe there's a girl, you know, a love interest who thinks I'm this phenomenal talk show host, and she doesn't know I'm making up these goofy voices. And maybe the industry wants to give me some award for being like the top, you know, informative talk show host of all time.
So in other words, this is a universe where there, and forgive me, I'm not trying to make a joke, but there, the broadcast executives are even dumber than they are in real life.
Yes, in essence, yes.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
No, but it's still a funny line, yeah. They're even dumber than they are in real life.
All right, now, do you see this as a 30-minute, did you say it's a drama or a comedy?
This is a comedy. It's a comedy because there's comedic, I see the laughs coming off of, you know, every week he's having to hide, you know, this, oh, geez, I don't want her to find out that I'm really the guy doing the voices. And the engineer guy is like, he's like my, it's like Batman and Robin, you know. He knows who I really am.
And why doesn't he tell anyone? Because it's very successful?
Yeah, because if he does, then the money stops. In other words, we become really rich and famous and all that stuff. And you know the beauty part? The beauty part of this, it's a 30-minute sitcom. Every week we start off with the little like a little heading there that says, "This is a true story."
Or based on a true story.
Yeah, or based on a true story, yeah. What comedy do you know of that...
Well, there's a lot of comedies that are based on true stories. I don't know of any that have actually said that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that's what we do. Now, having said that out over the air here to, I don't know how many, you know, tens of people, who knows? It may start this fall, you know.
Well, Phil, you know it's an industry that just steals, steals, steals. In that sense, it's very much like radio, where they just steal one idea after the next. However, no one can play you. All right?
Well, they can't do my story. Because anybody that would come out with this idea now, I'd sue the living hell out of them. I mean, I would sue them until they bled every drop of blood, and then I'd start in on their children and their wives and the generations as yet unborn.
All right, Phil, we get it. You'd go after them.
You got it.
Well, I think it's good. Here's the thing that I want to ask you: do you absolutely have to play the lead?
Yes. Yes. Well, who else is going to play it?
Well, Phil, you can get anyone that can do character voices.
Yeah, but that's not the voices that I do. I'd have to play it. Why can't I play it?
Well, I'm thinking of a bankable, saleable star. Not that you're somebody that wouldn't...
Wait. There's shows all the time that they put on TV that nobody ever heard of the person that's on the show. Okay?
Well, yes, but not that much.
Wait a second. Who ever heard of the people that were on Friends?
Courtney Cox. Everyone knew that she was the girl that Bruce Springsteen danced with. All right, so that's not such a big thing.
No, it's not a big thing. No, it's not.
What about David Schwimmer?
What about David Schwimmer?
Well, doesn't his mother is a lawyer? Isn't his mother a lawyer?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Wait a minute, Margaret. Why does that make him famous?
Because he's Beverly Hills boy. Well, it's Frank.
Frank, how you doing?
I'm better than Custer, young man.
David Schwimmer's mother, he's a lawyer in Beverly Hills, so a lot of people would know him.
David Schwimmer?
No, her mother.
Okay. Hold on. We'll be right back. Frank and the gender confusion again. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray, Frank Gray, and you, and our website, philhendryshow.com. Just kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cozy 5. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
And me and Robert.
And 7. Me, Margaret, Frank, my website, Robert, Bud, 6.
Phil Hendry.
No, it's 7. No, you're right, it's 6.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm looking at a little bit of it. Margaret Gray is joining us here online.
That's the Martin Bashir. Do you see him?
Yes, I do.
What? I don't understand why he is on that channel. Why is that?
Martin Bashir took over for I forget who. It was some the handoff between the two of them was kind of awkward.
Who was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was someone that it was very awkward, though. Was it Lawrence O'Donnell? No. Nonetheless, it was an awkward handoff, or it might have been on CNN Hell. I don't know.
Well, the reason why I'm saying it is, I like Martin Bashir. Don't get me wrong. I like him a lot. But I think in many ways, people like you, Phil, and people like some of our friends that are a little more conservative, I think it just simply delays the day that we are able to get our message out, because he seems to be an insular Indo-Anglo, who does have a very progressive, if you will, liberal views. And I think that is oft-putting. It's oft-putting. All right, Phil? Phil?
Yes, I'm following you.
All right, so you understand that he's an Indo-Anglo. That seems insular.
Who are you talking
about? Frank, I'm talking about Martin Bashir.
Jeez, it's not going to work at all.
You know, every time you bring Frank on, I'm getting the gender confusion, you know?
What do you mean you're getting it? Everyone's getting it, Phil.
I understand that, but the fact is, you know...
What's your saying?
I mean, he's talking about... Never mind. I understand.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, Frank.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your gender confusion, man.
What gender confusion are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that every time you refer to a woman, you say he, and every time you refer to a man, you say she.
I don't know what the hell.
Why do you bring it up to him? He does not compute it. It does not go into the biocomputer, Phil. He doesn't process it, Phil. Do you understand?
It's very distracting.
Don't let it distract you. All right? That's what I've done. I've lived with it, Phil, since I married Frank. We all knew this day was going to come. He had an untreated STD. The doctor said it would eventually invade the brain and somehow decay or decrepitude will set in. And this is what's happened. If this is the worst of it, I'll take it. I'm only glad he hasn't gone blind or gone mad.
An untreated STD.
Yes.
You know, by the way, speaking of that, do you mind if I get off the subject for a minute?
Go ahead.
Well, excuse me.
Well, go ahead.
You remember John List, the guy that killed his family?
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yes, he killed his children, his wife, and his mother.
That's exactly right. And then he went on the lam.
Yeah, it was in the early 70s.
All right. Do you know his wife, the wife that he killed, along with his children, his wife had an untreated, I didn't know this, I just read this about her, she had an untreated case of syphilis that had gone to her brain, and she was now becoming, she had dementia.
I didn't know that, no. That's even creepier than the story is.
Well, it's part of the real story. It's part of the real story.
That is creepy.
Yeah. She had, this is the truth, folks, if you guys remember this guy, John List, and his case was featured on America's Most Wanted, If you don't know the name, you probably will remember one thing about that case. There was a forensic sculpture made of a forensic clay model of what he would look like aged. And I believe it was one of the first of its kind.
Yes, I remember that. And they interviewed that man recently on television, the man that made that sculpture. I forget his name.
Talk about Rodin.
Rodin? What?
Who made the thinker?
No, Frank, are you an idiot? We're talking about something else.
What did he think?
He thought we're talking about Rodin.
That's the moth.
Is that the giant moth?
The sculptor, you imbecile.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Rodin and Mothra.
Not Mothra, you idiot.
No, she's talking about something else, but she's talking about Rodin was a sculptor who made the thinker, okay?
I remember Rodin and Gamera, that's what. Yeah, Gamera.
It ain't no science fiction guy. It's the guy who made a sculpture of the thinker. Do you know the thinker?
Uh-uh.
It's a sculpture of the guy like this.
What is it?
The guy's it's a sculpture of a guy, and he's nude, and he's leaning over, and he's thinking.
The guy's nude? But, and he's thinking? What's he thinking about?
Probably where he left his shorts.
Yeah.
All right, very funny.
What are those idiots talking about?
Making jokes about the thinker.
Bitch, he's thinking about where did I leave my underwear?
Yeah, I probably wonder about where I left the jock strap.
Oh, God. Why do I come on your program?
All right, anyway, so to make a long story short, this John List, they made a forensic clay sculpture of his head, which they aged. Okay?
They aged.
What, like cheese?
I don't know that part.
What do you mean, like cheese?
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about they made a sculpture of what he would look like 20 years on.
Oh.
I see. I'm sorry, Phil. All right.
What did you mean, cheese?
Well, the only thing is age.
Yeah.
You know something, man? One of these days, I'm going to make good on a promise I made myself. And that was to belt you so hard, bud, that you fly out of the studio and you never are able to return.
You want to put me in a hospital bed?
No, I just want to belt you so hard that you fly out of the studio and you can't find your way back. How about that?
That's like what Ralph Cramden said Elizabeth.
Yes, Ralph Cramden said that to Elizabeth.
You mean Alice Cramden? Jeez, you people, I don't know who's got the dementia now. Is it Frank? Is it Mrs. List? In any event, let's get back to what I was talking about of real importance, which is this idea I have for the show.
But just wrap up the John List thing. So what happened?
Yeah, this is interesting about how she had dementia.
John List's wife had to... Anyway, they made the forensic sculpture of the guy. They made that forensic clay model of the guy for America's Most Wanted, and someone who was a neighbor of his in Denver, Colorado, who knew him as a neighbor, said, wait a second, that's Bob so-and-so. She knew this guy, this John List, had changed his name, had gotten married, was working as an accountant for a company in Denver, I think. Or maybe he'd moved back to Jersey, but I think he was, for some reason, I think he used to be in Denver. Yeah, he moved to Virginia, that was it. But it was an ex-neighbor of his in Denver. And so anyway, long story short, she sees this. She calls up the America's Most Wanted people, says, I think that's my neighbor or my former neighbor. His name was Bob something.
And they found him that way?
Yeah, that's how they found him. The FBI got onto it and they walked into his office. They said, how are you, John List? And, you know, he probably crapped six shades of you know what. And
crap.
Exactly. And anyway, they arrested him. But the whole thing with this guy was so freaky why did I bring this up?
We were talking about Frank's dementia, so it does relate somehow.
Okay, great. Anyway, getting back to the TV show.
But just to finish this, Phil, so then what happened?
So what do you mean, then what happened?
Yeah, well, did they catch him?
Yes, I just told you the FBI went and got him.
Yeah, but did they, you know, torture him or nothing?
Yeah, man, they don't torture nobody.
They don't torture anyone.
No, they didn't torture him, but they brought him in, and they said, you're under arrest for the murder of your family. We know it's you. Yada, 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 yada. And I think he admitted to it. I mean, what was the guy going to do? He'd left a note. I mean, the way the guy did that whole murder of his family was just the most psychopathic thing you've ever read of, man. You know, the dude was a psychopath. And basically what it meant was, you know, his life sucked. He couldn't afford anything. Here's the irony of John List. A lot of people don't know this. The irony of it all is that the house that he owned there in New Jersey, where he slaughtered his whole family, where he killed his mother, killed his wife who had the dementia from syphilis, killed his children, where he couldn't afford the mortgage, he was in debt, and he didn't want his family to go on public assistance. All of these stupid, you know, I mean, the guy was a psychopath, so how can you believe anything he says? He had in the ceiling of a ballroom in that house something he didn't know he had. It was a chandelier. And this chandelier apparently was an antique from the 19th century, maybe even the 18th century. I don't know how far back it went. And it was worth hundreds of thousands.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I'm not. This chandelier that John List had in his house could have been sold, and he would have gotten himself out of hock. And if he wanted to, he should have just sold the house with the chandelier and probably would have made all even more money.
Yes, but you know something, Phil? He still would have had that family hanging around his neck, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's no... With a psychopath like that, there's no guaranteeing that the guy is going to... He's not going to kill. And there's no guarantee that sooner or later he'll find another excuse. But that just goes to show you. I mean, here's a guy... Even a psychopath is not so stupid as to figure, do I sell that chandelier, make hundreds of thousands of dollars and pay off my bills that way and have enough money left over, or do I just kill my whole family and start all over again? Even if he killed his whole family, he'd take the chandelier with him.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, I'd take it in a truck or something.
Yeah, I'd take it in a truck. All right, so now I gave you the John List story.
All right, getting back to your little sitcom. Now, you propose to play the lead in a show about a talk show host that can't buy a phone call until one day he starts making up character voices and becomes wildly famous. But no one knows he's doing the character voices except for him and who else?
His engineer.
So his bosses don't know. What about his girlfriend?
Well, see, that's what I figured could be a kind of a love interest thing. Like Lois Lane didn't know that Clark Kent was Superman. Maybe this Phil Hendry character in the show has a girlfriend that's attracted to him because she thinks he's this really wise and an interesting interviewer, and she doesn't know that he's doing funny character voices.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, with a love interest angle on that and everything.
Yeah, they probably like, a lot of ladies would like it and stuff.
Even though you're bald.
I can see the women being attracted to that, Phil. Yes, as Bud said, even though you're bald. And that...
Okay, well, that's fine. So, look, I don't have to be the sex symbol or anything, man. We're just talking about a human interest thing, see? Doesn't have to be, oh, wow, the girl's going to fall in love with Phil. It's like, guys will relate to this.
Well, in a goofy kind of a way.
Well, sure, but I mean, look, man. There's all been all kinds of shows that have featured goofy things. This is true, man. It's like Bosom Buddies featured two guys that pretended they were girls, right?
Yeah.
Well, was that based on reality, or was that just somebody's idea of a cute premise? I think that's...
I think that was based on a true story.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean it was based on a true story?
Where did you get your information, bud?
Well, it was Tom Hanks was in it.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. Yeah, he did the other show he done was called, well, Forrest Gump. Was that true or not?
I don't know. They said it was.
Forrest Gump was not true, no.
Well, still it was Tom Hanks.
So it was Tom Hanks. So what?
You're saying Tom Hanks would not be associated with anything that was so asinine unless it was true?
I would think not, Miss Gray, as on account of Tom Hanks has done Apollo 19 or whatever that one was, and Private and Mr. Ryan.
Billy done Mr. Ryan.
Yes, that is true. He did the Mr. Ryan. He did...
What is Mr. Ryan? You're talking about Saving Private Ryan?
I'm sorry, Saving Mr. Ryan. Or Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan.
Thank you. That's great. You guys all got the name right.
Well, still don't be sarcastic, all right?
Well, the point is what? That Tom Hanks would never do something dumb like Bosom Buddies? You're telling me that had to be based on a true story?
Well, I'd have to look into it, but if it was based on a true story, your show would not be the first to have been based on a true story, is all I'm saying.
Well, I think it is. I don't think Bosom Buddies was based on a true story. So I think what we would have here, people couldn't say, oh, what a stupid premise. Say, this is based on a true story.
Well, the part that he's a wildly successful, serious talk show host is not based on a true story. That's the part we make up.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter, man. You can still say it's based. That's what I'm saying. It's based on a true story.
Yeah, based, as in free based.
That's pretty good, man.
Thank you.
That is very witty, bud. I like that. Let me write that down. As in, what'd you say again?
Yeah, I said it's based at...
All right, never mind, okay? We'll be right back. We'll take a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show, talking with Margaret Gray and Bud...
Gray.
Bud Gray.
What do you mean, Bud Gray?
I mean, Bud Dickman.
Uh-huh.
and we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And don't forget a backstage pass there. And oh, yeah, we dropped another podcast. Today, episode 39 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast. Download the living hell out of that, man. Download the snot out of that, baby. We are like 84 on the iTunes comedy list, man. We want to jack, you know, we ought to be higher up than Tom Bernard, don't you think?
Who's he?
Never mind. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, well, hold on for a minute. Bobby Dooley, get Bobby up on the other line then. Bobby Dooley going to join us for just a moment. Bobby, what do you got?
Well, Phil, thank you. I don't want to rain on Ms. Gray's parade, but I wanted to send out a special shout-out to a lady that has conversed with me from time to time on Twitter, and she is now on the Chris,
Chris Matthews on the show.
On the Chris Matthews Show is Patricia Arquette. I want to do a special shout-out to Patricia Arquette. And you look wonderful, Patricia.
Well, where is she?
She's on the Chris Matthews Show on the MSNBC, right?
Yeah, on
MSNBC.
On MSNBC.
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 MSNBC, he says.
Yeah.
So Patricia and I have had conversations on Twitter, and a special shout out to her tonight. So that's all I wanted to say, and I wanted to let Janice Greeley know and some of the other gals that I tweet to that Patricia Arquette is she and I tweet to each other. So I wanted them to know that.
Okay.
And this is Margaret Gray. I really have to come in now and say something. I thought you didn't want to say anything to me. Well, I do now. All right. Big deal, you know, is all I want to say. Aren't you just so what? Patricia Arquette doesn't tweet to you, does she? I don't care who tweets to me. I don't care. You being on the show tonight and talking to Phil, you know what? I better hang up because I'm looking at Patricia Arquette right now on television. She's very beautiful. But did someone punch her in the mouth? How dare... You know what? I'm going to tell her what she said. And do I care? I don't know. Do you care? No, I don't. I'm still going to say that you said that she looks like someone punched her in the mouth. Thank you very much, Phil.
Okay. Thank you, Bobby. All right. 877-876-7445. And get back on the line here with Margaret Gray. That was a little... Why did you say that?
Phil, I am sorry. I thought I saw what looked like an injury to Patricia's mouth. She looks as if her upper lip might have been injured. I don't know.
I think she's very pretty.
She's a lovely girl. I didn't say anything wrong.
Well, you got Bobby now saying that she's going to go tweet to Patricia Arquette.
Oh, big deal. Big wow. Do you know that I talk to people like Patricia Arquette every single day of my life? Excuse me. Every single day of my life, I talk to people like Patricia Arquette.
Have you ever talked to Patricia Arquette?
Whatever. No, I don't think I have. But every single day of my life.
Like who?
What did he say?
Like who?
I don't have to dignify that with a response. Every day of my life.
Well, just name one person.
Like, just name one person.
I will dignify it with a response. But you don't believe me? Is insult enough. Now, getting back to your TV show, I really think, Phil, I gotta go. I am so disgusted.
Okay, thank you very much, Margaret. Wow.
What was that about?
I don't know what that was about, man. Margaret Gray there, upset with something. You want to bring Bobby back on, we can do that. I don't particularly want to, but... Patricia Arquette on the Chris Matthews Show. Okay, fine. All right, Bobby, Bobby? Bobby, you there?
Yes, Phil, right here.
Okay, Margaret is gone, and the question that I guess I have to ask you then is, you've had conversation with Patricia Arquette, and she's on the Chris Matthews Show. So, politically, what do you think of Patricia Arquette in terms of her political point of view?
Well, I haven't really talked to her about that because I don't have that, you know, I don't have the same interests as her in the politics. But I've talked to her. She was talking about me, and we were joking back and forth, you know.
Yeah, but she don't tell her about.
Well, I don't want to say, but we were joking back and forth about each other's looks, and she was calling me a little whore, and I called her the same thing. And,
well, so do you like each other?
Oh, sure. I'm sure that I could call her up and have drinks with her if I wanted to. And, but I think she's very pretty, and I think what Margaret Gray said was...
Patricia Arquette's very lovely, and great family, great, very talented acting family. So you don't follow the politics at all, so what do you guys do, just insult each other?
Well, no, I mean, she does a lot of women's rights, and I really like the women's rights things that she does. And I'm getting more and more into the women's rights things that she does do.
Okay. Bobby Dooley. Thank you, Bobby.
Okay. Can I stay on and talk some more about...
Okay, thank you, Bobby. Talked earlier, but...
Yeah, Ms. Dooley? Okay.
Hold on. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, will you on? I gotta hold on.
Will you hold on, bud? World-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back. And philhendryshow.com for a backstage pass.
Yahoo!
Oh, here it is.
Phil Hendry.